You're good to go.
So I think we left off two lines before, three lines down. Pei Aleph Amar Aleph, Sechein Eilenes Shechotzula Achen. So we learned in the Mishnah. Yep, Pei Aleph Amar Aleph, everyone got it? Bechin Eilenes Shechotzula Achen. An Eilenes does not have mitzvah yibum. But if the brothers did chalitza to her, the Mishnah says, loy paslua, that she does not become pasal. However, the Mishnah finishes off, balua paslua lekohuna. Why? Mnei should be lasa bilas nas. However, if they do yibum to her, she's a eshes ach. There is no mitzvah of yibum to an islandess. So since there's no mitzvah of yibum to an islandess, so then if they do yibum to her, then that would be a znus. It would be eshes ach shaloi b'malka mitzvah. And therefore, they would passel to her because they would make her into a zayin. So the Gemara makes a diak. Taima, what's the reason why an islandess becomes pasul kohuna de balua? Only because the brothers did yibum to her. Hadloi balua, but if they didn't do yibum to her and stam she's an islandess loy, then the halacha would be that an islandess would be kosher to marry a kohen. In fact, the Gemara command, who is this of opinion? De loy kirav Yehuda. L'chara, this is not going to be like Rav Yehuda Shita. Why? Who's Rav Yehuda? Di Rav Yehuda ha'amar eilenes zoynehi. Rav Yehuda says that even if an eilenes doesn't do anything wrong, she was just born an eilenes, still she had a din zoyna. Why is that true? So Rashi explains, ha'amar eilenes zoynehi v'perek habal yevimtei. So if you remember, this was probably a while ago, and that's Samach Aleph Amar Aleph, the Yalef law may hisnu v'lo yefreitzu. Rav Yehuda says that even though she didn't do anything and she was never mezana, but in order to, what's the tachlis of bia? It's to be able to have children. But if you're going to go ahead and have bia with a lady that never was able to have children and never in the future will be able to have children, she's like a piece of wood, meaning she's not a lady who's capable ever of having children. Since she's never capable of having children, that would automatically be considered a bias nuts. That's Rav Yehuda's opinion, but clearly our Mishnah is saying not like Rav Yehuda, because our Mishnah is saying that only if she's mezana and she does this nuts of eshesach shaloi b'malka mitzvah, then she becomes a zayna. But stamen islandess, we don't say she's a zayna. Just because she can't have a child does not automatically mean that a bia with her will be a bias nuts. Meaning, as long as you do a normal man, a normal lady having bia, that's not a bia znus. Rav Yehuda's opinion, however, is that automatically a bia with a lady that could never have a child, she never was able to have a child, never will be able to have a child, that's automatically a bia znus. But our Mishnah is saying not like that. Okay, look the Mishnah. Sris Chama. What's a Sris Chama? So you should have seen this a few times. Sris Chama is someone that cannot have children. Chama means that before he even came to the light of this world, before he came under the light of the sun, he wasn't able to have children. So Sris Chama means someone that became a Sris. He was unable to have children from birth, from the time that he was born already. He can't have any children. And he's a Kohen. Shenosa Bas Yisrael. Then he got married to Bas Yisrael, Machila B'Truma. He's allowed to do Truma. The halacha is if a Kohen marries a Yisraelis, now she becomes like a Kohen, right? Ishtei Kegufay. And therefore, the halacha is that she's allowed to eat Truma. Why not? There's no Isser for a Yisraelis to marry a Sris Chama. And therefore, he's allowed to feed her in Truma. So Rashi explains, Sris Chama Kohen, Aval Sris Adam. What about Sris Adam? What's a Sris Adam? Sris Adam means that he was born a perfectly normal child. However, even though he was born a perfectly Even though he's born in perfectly normal child, at some point this he's unable, he's a stress, he's unable to have children. Why? They another them. It happened, unfortunately, an accident happened, and he's unable to have children. Mifsal nami pasala mitruma. The halacha is he's like a krus shefcha or psuadaka, which we're going to see in the Gemara. Since he became unable to have children, he's not allowed to marry a Yisraelis. Maybe a ger he could marry, but Yisraelis he's not allowed to marry. And therefore, if he marries her, he's going to passel her from Truma. So our mission saying is only a Sris Chama, someone who's a Sris from birth, that person is able to feed his wife in Truma. However, a Sris Adam is not able to do that. Since he's a psuadaka, therefore he's not allowed to feed her in truma. And even if she's not an Israelis, even if she's a kohenis, that means her whole entire life until now she was able to eat truma, but now that she married someone that she wasn't allowed to marry, then he's going to pasel her. So how do we know that the Israelis that marries a kohen is allowed to eat truma? So the Torah says, "B'koyin tiyikna nefesh kinyan kasbay hu yoychalbay." It says that if you're a koyna, meaning you're a koyna, your wife, you do a kinyan kedushin to your wife, then she becomes part of her husband's mishpacha, and therefore, since he's a koyin and he's getting supported by all the yidden giving him truma, he's also allowed to give his wife and his children truma. However, if it's usher for him to get married, like he's a psuadaka or he's a krus shivcha, then avada, that's not a proper union, and therefore he's not allowed to feed her. So the real shaila in the Mishnah is, the Gemara is going to deal with this, is l'char, it's obvious. If the halacha of the Sris Chama is perfectly mutter and he's the same as every other kohen, what's the chiddush b'chlal that a kohen is who marries a lady who he's allowed to marry, that he could feed her? The fact that he can't have children, that's irrelevant. The point is, it's a mutter dika. He's a normal kohen. He's allowed to do avoda. He married a Yisraelis. Why shouldn't he be able to feed her? So that we're going to see in the Gemara.
But is this machlokes, going back to the Yeshua of Akiva, the machlokes with them, but a Swiss, with the Swiss Chama, a Swiss Adam?
So later in the Mishnah we're going to get back to that machlokes, but this halacha is a straightforward halacha. Yeah, because a Sris Chama is allowed to marry Yisraelis, and if a Sris Chama is allowed to marry Yisraelis, then what would be the problem? The Mishnah continues. Rav Yosi v'Rav Shimon Aymrim. So basically, this Mishnah is going to be sort of a potpourri of halachas of different people that are not standard. You know. Nowadays, there's a whole big thing about transgender or whatever. So these are just straightforward people that are either Sris Chama or an androgynous or a tumtum. What exactly is their status? So there's a total separate halacha from the first halacha, second halacha of the Mishnah. Rav Yosi v'Rav Shimon Aymrim, androgynous. What's an androgynous? That's an interesting type of person, that he was born with both the male private organs and the female private organs. So he had both of them. So what's the status of this androgynous? So again, we're going to discuss it much more when we get to the Gemara, but in the Mishnah, Rav Yosi and Rav Shimon say that an androgynous, again, that's the person that has both the simani zachras and the simani of in the keva, koyin shenosa bas Yisrael, and he's a koyin and he married a Yisraelis machila b'truma. Again, even though if he marries her and she's Yisraelis, and for sure if she's a kohenis, halacha is he's like a male, even though he also has the female organ. However, he still has the din of a male, and therefore machila b'truma. And therefore, he's allowed to be machal her in truma, because again, he's a normal kohen who had permission to marry her, and since he had permission to get married to her, it says in the Torah, "A kohen ki yikna nefesh kinyan kasbay hu yoychal bay."
What if an androgynous marries a ben Yisrael?
So that we're going to see in the Gemara that would be a problem, because since they're viewing this androgynous as a male.
So we do generally view this as a male,
that all across. So again, this is only the opinion in the Mishnah. We're going to see in the Gemara maybe Rav Yossi was chayzer from what he said in the Mishnah, but that's what I said. When we're going to get to the Gemara, we're going to see other opinions. But according to Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon that are judging him like a male, then obviously he's not allowed.
Right.
To marry another male. Rav Yehuda says, Tumtum. Again, what's a Tumtum? Tumtum. That's someone that was born with his, his private parts, like, slightly held back, and then there's, like, a little bit of a covering, like a skin covering, over it. So, therefore, So basically, you can't really see if he's a male or a female, because there's like a little bit of a skin covering, and then you can't tell, is he a male or is he a female? He really is one of them, and all you have to do is do an operation, and you'll be able to see. But he was born that you cannot see. The tumtum, Rav Yehuda says, tumtum shenikra. What about if you have this tumtum, so he was born again, you couldn't see if he was a male or a female, because there was like the piece of skin over it. Shenikra, and then you did an operation, you ripped open the skin which was covering it, and you looked underneath, and you see, he's a male. He has the male private parts. Lo yachleit, on the halacha is that he should not do chalitza, meaning if his brother dies without any children and he has other brothers, he shouldn't be the one to do chalitza. Rather, his other brothers should be the ones who should do chalitza. Why? B'mnei shehu kisres. If you said, besides for the fact that he was born with this piece of skin over him, he's a sris. How do you know he's a sris? Meaning, all he has is a piece over, So the Mefarshim explained two different pshatim. Either the surgery itself, I guess, you know, in those days maybe they weren't such experts in the surgery, and the surgery itself will probably cause him to be a sris. Or more mustaver to say is that it's not normal to be born with a piece of skin over there. And that's a simon that you're really a sris chama. The fact that you were born in this abnormal way, that it's sort of recessed your private parts, and then there's a piece of skin over it, that's a simon that this child, who's a tumtum, will never get to, will never be able to be moiled.
So it's a machlokus, what kind of stress he is?
Ah, so now, as you mentioned before, that this might get back into that machlokus, Rabbi Kiva. So let's get to that in 1 second. Let's take a look at Rashi first. Lo yachleitz. It says he shouldn't do chalitza. What's this case of lo yachleitz? So Rashi said lo yachleitz im yesh och achar. It means if there's another brother, he shouldn't do chalitza. But you can make a diak. If there's no other brother, it's at first glance, Mashma and Rashi, that he could do chalitza. Which again, that's going to get into that machlokes that we learned previously, if you could do it. So, this is really a big machlokes, how exactly to understand Rav Yehuda, and how exactly to understand it. So again, we learned on Ayin Tesamim Beis, there Rabbi Kiva said the Sris Chama can't do chalitza because he would never kosher. However, a Sris Adam could be chalitza. So again, if the surgery caused him to do it, then he would be a Sris Adam. So if you look at the Beit Tanur on the side of the Mishnah, he says we do not pass him like Rav Yehuda in this Mishnah, because since he's saying is that the surgery is going to cause him to be, since he's saying the surgery is causing him, that's not a Sris Chama, that's a Sris Adam. And Allah says the Sris Adam is Chaylitz.
Do we pass like Rav Akiva?
So therefore the Rav is saying that we don't paskin like Rav Yehuda. However, Rav Kiva Eger on the side of the Mishnayos disagrees. And learns that over here he's like a Srischama, that the fact that he was born that way showed it. So again, I think we're going to wait for the Gemara to discuss the Mishnah more at length. But again, it's not really so clear exactly why exactly this tumtum asris, and what does Rashi mean leyachlitz in the yeshach acher, and what about the no other brother? Then could he do chalitza or leyachlitz in the yeshach acher? But who then, if he's the only brother, also he shouldn't do it. So that's something definitely to keep in mind. Okay.
How can you not make the deep Rashi? Why would Rashi say that?
Right. So I would definitely say that the pashtus in learning Rashi is loyachal meish acher, but otherwise not. But you could learn, but we're going to have a reason in the Gemara to say otherwise. And the other way to learn Rashi, I agree, it's a little bit of a chiddush, is loyachlitz. The lashon of loyachlitz is mashma, you should not do it. But as opposed to if you were the only brother, it wouldn't be lo yachatz, it would be that you're not chayav in chalitza. There is no mitzvah yibum, and there is no chalitza. Rashi would bother, what's the negative of you should not do it? The reason why you shouldn't do it is because I have another brother who is chayav in the mitzvah yibum, as opposed to if there's no other brother and I'm the only one and there's no mitzvah yibum at all, there's no reason not to do it, it's just worthless. So therefore, Rashi was just coming to explain the diuk in the Mishnah of Layachlitz. But yeah, I definitely agree that the Pasha Pshat, if you're learning Gemara Rashi, Layachlitz is Mashma, Layachlitz im Yishachar, but alone he could do it. But again, when we get to the Gemara, or Mirtz Hashem, we will deal with it further at length. The Mishnah continues, Androgynous Naisei, Avaloi Nisa. So as we mentioned before, what exactly is the status of an androgynous? He has both the male organs and the female organs. Is he a male? Is he a female? Does he have a choice? So the Mishnah says he does not have a choice. We are going to deal with him as a zachar. And since he's going to be a zachar, he can marry a female, Avaloi Nisa, but he can't get married to a male. And just the opposite. If he would marry a male, if a male comes on a male, then the halacha is that he would be chayav misa. So Rashi says, avaloi nisa shehu kezachar, because the status of androgynous is like a male. But sheichav imoy harehu kebal azachar, and therefore, if another male comes on him, then therefore he's kebal azachar. So that's actually a slightly interesting diuk. Again, he has both the male organs and the female organs. The other person that's mezana with him, how are they being mezana with him? Like a male on a male, or a male into the female part? So it's not so clear, again, from Rashi. Is Rashi saying that it's only Mishkav Zachar if he does it like two males, or even if you go into the female part, would that also have the status of Mishkav Zachar, even though you're doing it like with a female? But Al-Kalpam Rashi says that that androgynous has a din of a male, and he doesn't have a right to choose or anything like that, and therefore it would be considered Mishkav Zachar, and you'd be Chayav Skila. The Mishnah continues, Reb Lazer is Chaylik, Reb Lazer Omer, Reb Lazer says, androgynous Chayavin Olav Skila Kezachar. Reb Lazer says, the androgynous, your Chayav Skila, if you're Mizana, so Pasha Pshat, he's not arguing at all. L'char, he's saying the exact same thing as we just said. He's Naisi Avaloi Nisa. So Rashi says, your blood of Amr Gemara Mefarish Plaksayu, that the Gemara is going to explain the Machloikis, which is exactly what we just said. That Reb Lazer agrees with the Tanakhama that a Zachar that's Ba'al Zachar, that the halacha is that he's chayav skila. However, he disagrees. What happens if another zachar comes into his makam nakvas, comes onto him like a nekeva? Then he says this: that's not an act of a mishkav zachar, because since he also has the female private parts, so if someone else is bun him into his female parts, then the halacha would be that you'd be putter from skila.
That's a
That's what Reb Elazar says. But the Tanakhama says that even if you go into the female part, still the halacha is that he has a din of a zachar, and doesn't make a difference how you're mezana with him. Not like a male, not like a female. You're always going to be chayav skila. However, Reb Elazar says, only if he treats him like a male are you chayav skila, but not if he treats him like a female. Okay, so that was a bunch of different halachas of different people that are not the standard male. Either they can't have children, or they're androgynous, or a timtum. Zot the Gemara. Pshita. Frek the Gemara. L'chara, it's obvious that l'chara, it should be obvious that a Sris Chama, who's mutter to marry Yisraelis, so then, obviously, if you have a Sris Chama who's a Kohen that married the Yisraelis, of course the Torah says that he's allowed to feed her. Why? Because it's a Mefarsh Pasuk in the Torah. The Kohen ki yikna nefesh kin kashbay hu yeichel b'boy v'yilad b'yisay him yeichlu b'lachma. It's a Mefarsh Pasuk. Why shouldn't he be able to feed his wife in Truma? And for the Gemara Maditema, I might have thought Moilid Machal, only a man who is able to give birth, then he could feed his wife in Truma. She'ena Moilid, but a Sris Chama, who is unable to have any children, ena Machal. So for some reason the Gemara feels that someone who is unable to have children, even though he could have a normal marriage, but since he's unable to have children, then maybe I would think ein machal, that he can't be machal's wife in truma. Kamash malon. So the affirmation is telling you that's not true. And even though you're unable to have children, as long as you have a normal marriage and you're a kohen and you're allowed to marry Israelis, then you could be. So the obvious question is, why would I think feeding your wife in truma has anything to do with the fact that, what have anything to do with the fact that you could have children and you can't have children? Halacha, you could feed your wife even though you don't have any children. So Rashi explains, Mahu detema moilid machal didaikinan. I would think that only someone who could have children is able to feed his wife in truma. Didaikinan, because we have a dik in the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? The kohen ki yikna nefesh kin kashbay. The yelid beisay, in the end of that pasuk says yelid beisay, someone who marries a wife, and then the halacha is he could feed his wife, the yelid beisay heim yoichlu, and your children heim yoichlu, then your children and your wife could eat. So I would think that it means that you could only feed your wife if you could also have children. You don't have to actually have children, but you have to at least have the potential to have children. If you're able to have a wife and children, then you can feed your wife and you know, Mirat Hashem, your children. But otherwise not. Yes, sorry.
If you have a 70-year-old guy, Kohen, who married a 65-year-old,
money
has the same question?
So, yes. According to this Havamina, so then perhaps we would think you have to be Roy Lohailid. Now, again, there's a difference between an islandess and a 7-year-old and a 65-year-old, because we learned before in Rav Yehuda that there's an Isser of Znos for Lo Yefreitu. If you never were able to have children, and you never would be able to have children. Mm-hmm. As opposed to a 7-year-old in Mirat Hashem, as he grows a little bit older, he will be able to have children. And so to an Almana who's 65 years old, you know, even though she can no longer have children, but she at least at one point was able to. So over here would be slightly worse, but regardless, the halacha is in all three cases. Say in our case, where he could never have children, or say in the case that you're a child who will eventually be able to have children, or a 65-year-old Almana who was able to have children, all of them are able to eat. Again, a 7-year-old will have other technical issues. How exactly does he do a real kedushin? Because, you know, considering he doesn't have das, he can't really do a real kedushin. But yeah, okay. So that was Gemara number one. So again, so quick summary: that the Mishnah said that a Sris Chama is able to feed his wife Truma, and the Chiddush is that even though he can't have children, and the end of the Pasuk said the Yilid Beis, so still that's not necessary, and as long as it's Kinyan Kasboy, he could feed her in Truma even though he's incapable of having Yilid Beis. Okay, the second case in the Mishnah was Rav Yosi, Rav Shimon, Oimrim, that androgynous is considered like a male, and therefore if he marries the Israelis, it's a good marriage, and therefore he's machila b'truma. So, Omer Reish Lakish, machila b'truma, ve'ein machila b'chodla v'shaik. He's only allowed, normally if a kohen marries a kinyan kasbei, the halacha is he's allowed to feed his wife in all the matnas kohuna. I mean, he could feed her in truma, and also if someone brings a shlamim, the halacha is that you're supposed to give the kohen, from the chaza, from the breast, and the sheik, from the thigh. You know, you could get a good steak near the breast, or a good piece of meat from the thigh, and he's allowed to give that to his wife. However, an androgynous, for some reason, is only allowed to be machila b'truma, but ein machila b'chaz v'shayk. So we have to figure out why. What's the difference? If it's a fully, if an androgynous is considered a full zachar and it's a fully valid marriage, why? What's the distinction? So Rashi says, machila b'truma v'chulu l'kama mafarish la. Very shortly, we're going to explain. B'truma b'zman hazed d'rabbanan. Really, we're not so sure about this marriage, about this androgynous. He's sort of both a zachar and a nekeva. So we consider him a zachar klape truma, which is d'rabbanan. Aval b'midi d'reisa. However, by something which would be have kedusha d'reisa loy, then he cannot feed her. My time a suffik ish. Suffolk Isha, who is not really for sure a Zachar, he's really a Suffolk. So by Drabbanan, we'll say Suffolk Drabbanan Lakula. But when it comes to Deraisa, then we'll say is that no, you can't have something which is Deraisa. And our example of Deraisa is a Chaz of a Sheik of a Karban Shlamim. However, really, anything which is deraisa, let's say you had truma deraisa or you have other deraisa, then he's not allowed to be machila. Yes, so Rashi just explained that the difference between Truma and Chaz v'Shoik is not really a difference between Truma and Chaz v'Shoik, which is really a good point, which we'll get back to in a minute. The difference is just one's the Rashi, one's the Rabbanan, which Imkain, then Rish Lakish could have just said, maybe only by Truma the Rabbanan, but not by Truma the Raisa. Well, that wasn't your point. What was your question?
Why is Truma different than Chaz v'Shoik as far as the Rabbanan or the Raisa?
Oh, so we're getting a little bit ahead of us, but the Gemara is going to explain that Truma is, of course, the Raisa. So there are Pesukim in the Torah about it, but Bizman Hazeh, and
what changed about Truma but not Chaz v'Shoik?
So Truma is something that grows from the earth. So therefore it depends on if Eretz Yisrael is going to have Kedusha. And once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we went into Galus, then Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be a Machlokes. But according to this man, the Amar, who holds Truma b'zman hazeh as d'rabbanan, then the ground lost the Kedusha. But if you're Makdish or Shlomim, that's not totally on the land. Anytime that you're going to be Makdish the Shlomim, it's a carbon. So you're not going to be able to be makrev chaz v'shoik today because you can't be.
Because you're buying it too, no?
What?
For the same reason, shouldn't they say that they can't bring the carbon?
You can't bring it, but if someone would be foolishly be makdish a carbon nowadays, it would still have kedushas carbon. It's just, you know, I'd advise you to quickly give it a moment, or I don't know what you're going to do. That wouldn't be a very wise thing. But the kedusha of the carbon doesn't change by the fact that, unfortunately, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and you can't do it. I think it was just an example of something which is always going to. Shlomim was just practically an example of something which is always going to be the Raisa Truma, something it depends. What is it, or at what time is it being brought? But it is a very interesting point, which in Mirat Hashem we're going to get back to as the Gemara gets back to explain Reish Lakish. Why did he get, like, why didn't he just say Machila b'drabanan not in the race? So why did he decide to explain that Truma, his example of drabanan was Truma, and his example of a deraisa was a chaz of a sheik?
Quick question.
So Reish Lakish is
opinion.
Dragan says not really for sure a zachar. He's a safek, and we're leaning towards zachar, and therefore klapia iser derabbanan we could rely that he's a zachar. But klapia deraisa, for example, karban shlomim or any of the other matnas kahuna which are deraisa, then he's not allowed to feed his wife the chaz of a sheik.
Do we know what Shimon hold about
Chazav Ashok? Reish Lakish is come. We don't know, but Reish Lakish is.
Rabbi Yosef and Shimon say that they didn't say anything
about. Right. They just have machil b'truma, and Reish Lakish is making a diak in them and coming to explain them that when they said truma. Yeah, correct. Reish Lakish is coming to explain the Tanam. He's not. I mean, Reish Lakish. Revichim and Reish Lakish are Amiram, and they're coming to explain the Tanam and the Mishnah, Rav Yosi and Rav Shimon.
Does the androgynous eat Chazav HaShaik?
So the Kohen himself, so say if he's a Zachar, say if he's in the cave, but Halacha is a Kohen or a Bas Kohen is able to eat all the Matnas Kuna. So yes, an androgynous could eat the Chazav HaShaik. The Reish Lakish is only saying that if he marries a lady, that his wife cannot eat the Chazav HaShaik, if she's a Yisraelis.
She gets it from the base of Ia, from her father? Well, I mean, why was it?
So that would be interesting. Meaning, if she was a Kohanis, so then when she was a child, she was able to eat the Chaz of a Sheik. Then if she married a Yisrael, she loses that ability to eat it. But over here, she's marrying a Kohen, so who's either a male or a female. So if he's a male who's a Kohen, then he could feed her the Chaz of a Sheik. And if he's a female, then it's not marriage, because a woman can't marry a woman. So then she would still be able to eat the chaz of a sheik. So the only case over here that she can't eat the chaz of a sheik is only if she is a Yisraelis. And that's what it says in the Mishnah, that Rav Yosi and Rav Shimon say androgynous. The Gemara doesn't bring it down, but if you look back in the Mishnah, the lashon was androgynous kohen shenasa bas Yisrael. Machila b'truma, but we're not necessarily referring to Shenasa Bas Kohen, because the Bas Kohen, not through him, but through her own power, should be able to eat, and she shouldn't lose that ability. Excellent. The Gemara continues that Rav Yochanan argues on Reish Lakish, right? The classic by Pukta on Reish Lakish is always Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Omer af machila because of a sheik. He's a full bona fide zachar, and therefore klape all matnas kahuna, even by a karban shlomim, the halacha is he's allowed to be machila because of a sheik. So again, Rav Yochanan is learning Rav Yosi and Rav Shimon that they were giving example machila b'truma, which is the most common, right? Especially, you know, after the times of the Beis Hamikdash, you know, there weren't too many karban shlomim, but really, halachically, there's no difference. While Reish Lakish is making a diak, only machila b'truma derabanan, but in chaz of a sheik deraisa, you cannot be machila. So now the Gemara is going to explain Reish Lakish. Ula Reish Lakish, Maishna Chaz of a Sheik. What's the difference about Chaz of a Sheik? So we already explained. Deraisa. What do you mean? The obvious difference is Chaz of a Sheik is always Deraisa. It doesn't make a difference. You know, there's no such thing as a Karban Shlomim Derabanan. A Karban Shlomim is always going to be Deraisa. Affect the Gemara, Truma Nami Deraisa. Why is Truma, you know, why is Truma not Deraisa? The Torah talks about Truma all the time. Dagan Tirish V'yitzer. If you're taking from your wheat or from your wine or from your oil, that there's a din of Truma Deraisa. So why is Reish Lakish assuming that Truma is the Rabbanan and the Chaz of a Sheik is the Reisa? And for the Gemara, Hacha b'mayaskinan. What are we talking about? B'truma b'zman hazeh. And we hold that truma nowadays, after the times of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the status of that is derabanan. Not everyone agrees to this, but Reish Lakish is of the opinion that truma b'zman hazeh is derabanan. Why? Because again, that even though when we, you know, originally it was Eretz Canaan, then we were makdashed into Eretz Yisrael, but then when there was destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and we went into a galus, then perhaps it lost some level of its kedusha, and therefore truma b'zman hazeh is going to be derabanan.
Do people give truma derabanan?
Yes. So the halacha is that you have to be mafresh truma. I mean, now that you can't give it to a kohen because we don't know who's a kohen and they're all tameim and all that. But yeah, if. Meaning, again, there's only in Eretz Yisrael, not in America. You don't have to be mafresh truma, but when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, so then,
large companies or farms are mafresh truma.
So an Eretz Yisrael becomes an issue. Now, there's a halacha called demai, that we don't trust other people. So truma, we always trust. Because the truma, what's the share of truma? How much you have to give for truma? A very, very minimal amount. So we're not, and truma is very chomer. So we're not chayshish from yid, even if he's an am ha'aretz, that he won't be mafish truma. But if you're talking, if you're buying from a large, you know, corporation of frayidin, and you know, and this isn't the game in America. If you go to Costco and you buy Jaffa oranges or something which is, you know, and Costco, you don't know who they're buying from. Are they buying from a kibbutz? Are they buying from a frumyid? If they're buying from a place with a hechsher, then you could rely that even if it's a frayid, that owns it. But yeah, you have to be careful of trumas and maestros. And it's not so uncommon. You could get tomatoes, peppers, pomelo, different things. You know, you have to check. Like if you have a mashgiach in an establishment, one of the things he always checks is where's the produce from. I remember there was once a mashgiach. He didn't expect it, but like he just checked the bag of carrots. Carrots are very rarely from Israel, and he noticed that the carrots were actually from Eretz Yisrael. And he was like, "Oh, I better quickly, you know, figure out, you know, what to do, how to be mafresh, truma, maestros."
I forgot about the oranges.
What?
We got this problem with oranges.
Right, so but Jaffa oranges are famous, or you know, pomelo. But you could have peppers. You know, I mean, again, it's often on the packaging. You know, where's it from? Is it from America? Is it from Mexico? But if it's from Eretz Yisrael, then you have to know where they're getting it from. Costco's probably not buying Bedatz oranges there. You know. But anything with a reliable hechsher, you could. One of the things that a hechsher does in Eretz Yisrael more than a hechsher in America is that they make sure that proper. Now, you know, the briskers don't trust anything, and not even if the hechsher said that they did it, they do Iber Meiser, and they don't trust and whatever. But yeah, but the halacha is that midra banan, you are chayiv in Eretz Yisrael. In Truma. So that's what we're saying over here, that nowadays, Truma Bizman Hazeh is Derabanan, and since Truma Bizman Hazeh is Derabanan, so then therefore the androgynous could feed his wife with it. However, by Shlomim, which is Deraisa, he cannot be he can't be Machila because of a Sheik. So Zakhtin Mar, let's make the obvious Diyuk. Avol Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim Mai. What's the halacha during the times that the Beis HaMikdash was around? Loi. Then the chayyu, an androgynous who marries the Yisraelis cannot be machila b'truma. Why can't he be machila b'truma? Because since it's truma deraisa, and therefore we're not so sure that he's a zocher, and therefore we're not so sure that it's a valid marriage that he could be machila b'truma deraisa. Fact the Gemara. Adetani in machila b'chaz of a shoik. Why did Reish Lakish have to say that machila b'truma, but not machila b'chaz of a shoik? Lifleg v'lesni b'dida. Since the distinction is not between truma and chaz of a shoik, the difference is between derabanan and deraisa. Let the Gemara lifleg v'lesni b'dida. Let's be machalik truma and truma. What do I mean? But medvar mamurim, what's the case that the kohen who then androgynous could be machal as ishre b'truma? That's only b'truma d'rabbanan. Aval b'truma d'raisa loy. I mean, Pashup Shah, when you read Rish Lakish, machil b'truma, e machil b'chaz v'shaik, you start thinking, what's the difference between truma and chaz v'shaik? Why don't you just cut to the chase? Only truma d'rabanan, not truma d'raisa. And then you won't get all confused. Why are you talking about chaz v'shaik? Why are you talking about truma? What's the difference? Is there a carbon shalom in bizman of that? It won't be confusing. Let's just stick to one topic and say there's a difference between d'rabanan and d'raisa, which is really the ikar point. Why did he have to jump to emachila because of a shoy? Just say truma. Right, it just pashut. Right, or we're gonna see later that there are opinions that truma even bizmana does their eyes. So the difference just really is it derabban or derais? But according to Rish Lakish's opinion, that truma bizmana does derabban. Right, so it just depends if it's before the korban abayis or if it's after the korban abayis. And for the Gemara, Hachinami Ka'amar. That's really what Rish Lakish meant. Why? How do we read Rish Lakish? The Gemara says you have to read Rish Lakish differently. So now we're going to have to read Rish Lakish again with the way the Gemara is going to tell us how to read Rish Lakish. Kishahu Machila, when the Mishnah said that an androgynous who marries a Yisraelis, he could be Machila B'truma. What does the Mishnah mean? What does Rav Yosi and Shimon mean, Machila B'truma? Machila B'truma Bizman Hazed D'Rabbanan. Then you could only be Machila B'truma when? Bizman Hazed, where all truma is derabanan. However, ve'ei machila bizman chaz v'shaik. Again, nowadays, like you pointed out very well, no one brings shlamim nowadays that there's no beis hamikdash. Like, what would that mean to be makdash or shlamim nowadays? So you can't be machila during the time of chaz v'shaik, during the time of the beis hamikdash, when people were bringing the carbon shlamim, then you can't be machila even in truma. In the time that the Beis HaMikdash was Kayim, and therefore you were Makav Karban Shlomim, and therefore you gave out the Chaz of Ashayk. Because now that even if you're Makdash or Shlomim, you can't give out the Chaz of Ashayk because you can't do it. So, then he adds the Chiddush, and even by Chuma Durabana, meaning Bizman Chaz of Ashayk, there was still Chuma Durais and Chuma Durabana. What does that mean, Chuma Durais and Chuma Durabana? Chuma Durais is Dag and Tirish V'Yitzar, the three main things that you have. You have wheat, you have oil, you have wine. Those are Durais. But if you have Stam of fruit, you have an apple or an orange, even Bizman Beis HaMikdash was only Durabanan. So Bizman Chaz of Ashayk, Bizman the Beis HaMikdash, then even if you have Truma Durabanan, the halacha is that an androgynous that married the Israelis can't be machila on Bizman Beis HaMikdash in the Truma of apples or oranges. Why? Dilma Asil Oichla B'Truma Duraisa. Because Bizman Beis HaMikdash, that there's Truma Duraisa and Truma Durabanan, we don't want him to give his wife the Truma apple or the Truma orange, because we're afraid that he might also give her the Truma wine or the Truma bread. So therefore, he's saying it's bizman chaz v'shaik. So it's a whole new reading in Rish Lakish. It's not the ein machila b'chaz v'shaik. It's ein machila, even in the Rabbanan, it's bizman chaz v'shaik.
But
yes.
He's adding, it doesn't say that.
Right.
He's adding the word
bizman.
He's adding.
Yeah, he's saying, right. That's what Rish Lakish meant to say. This is what Rish Lakish meant to say, which is definitely not the way that we originally read it, right? I didn't. Dr. Ashi. This is the new reading of Rish Lakish, not the way that we read Rish Lakish originally. Machila b'truma. What did Rish Lakish mean when he explained the Mishnah of Rav Yosi and Rav Shimon that machila b'truma? Kaloimer bizman hazeh. You're only allowed to be machal her in truma bizman hazeh. She'ein noig el truma. Because nowadays the only thing that's noig bizman hazeh is only truma. There is no carbon shlamim, and there is no truma deraisa. The ainay machila beklum, and you can't be machol. The dragons can't be machol his wife in any of the matnas kuhuna bizman shechaz of a sheik nehagim at the time that it was relevant to have a chaz of a sheik, because they were mak of a carbon shlamim. The hainu kasham mikdash kaim. So bizman of the beis hamikdash was Kayim, you couldn't feed her in any of the Matnas Kuna, not in the Reset, not in the Rabbanon, Dr. Ashi, I feel with Truma de Rabbanon, to go in Truma's Paris. What's the example of Truma de Rabbanon? I, L'chara, during Bizman Beis HaMikdash, the whole Eretz Yisrael had a Kedusha and Truma was the Reisa. Yeah, but still, the Torah only said that Truma's the Reisa by Dagon Tirish B'Yitzer. But could go in Truma's Paris. But by Truma de Rabbanon, like Truma of Paris, however, Ika Truma de Reisa could go in Dagon Tirish B'Yitzer, since during those days of the Beis HaMikdash there was a Truma de Reisa Dagon Tirish B'Yitzer Gadrin, and therefore we make a Gzera not to feed her in Truma de Rabbanon, Atu, that you might come to feed her Truma de Reisa. Yeah, so again, we're having a whole new reading that even though Rosh Hashanah didn't say Bizman Chaz V'Shoik, but that's what he meant to say. Bizman Chaz V'Shoik, you can't feed her in any of the Matnas Kahuna. Okay. So that is Rish Lakish's opinion. So again, a quick summary that Rish Lakish is learning the Mishnah that when Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon say an androgynous kain that married a Yisraelis, he could be machila b'truma, is only nowadays that all we have is truma d'rabbanan, but b'zman beis hamikdash, then he can't feed her not in the deraisa dika matnas kohuna because maybe he's not a zachar, and even in the derabbanan you can't be machila because we're goyzer that you might by mistake once you feed her the derabbanan dika truma you might come to give her the deraisa dika truma. Rav Yochanan before disagreed. Af machila b'chazav b'shoik. Even a carbon shlamim, which is the rice, even b'zman shabeis hamikdash kayim, and for sure in truma derabbanan or truma derais, the halacha is that androgynous kayin is able to be machal his wife b'chazav b'shoik. So the shaila is, what's the machloikas? What's pshat in Rav Yochanan? Why does Rav Yochanan disagree with Rish Lakish that he could do it? So the Gemara is going to explain.
He doesn't worry about this. Perhaps he'll feed her the.
No, not only that. Not only is he now afraid that perhaps he'll feed her truma derais or chazav b'shoik, he could feed her chazav b'shoik. I mean, Rav Yochanan is saying that your vade is zachar, and since your vade is zachar, it's for sure a good nesu'in, and therefore there's no problem in feeding her derais. So for sure you could feed her in the rabbanon, because even if you fed her the actual carbon shlamim, you know, obviously, practically speaking, you can only feed her a carbon shlamim in bizman beis hamikdash, because even if you're makdash carbon shlamim nowadays, how are you going to get to the chazav b'shoik?
What is the problem with androgynous for a man that says you can't feed her? Is it because he's sorry, or because he's androgynous, or
the problem is that he might be in the cave because since he has both.
If he's marrying her, doesn't that prove that the suin is good, valid? That's what the feeling I'm getting is from reading this one.
Right. So we're really going to have to discuss that. I mean, androgynous is a suffix, right? So that's a little more complicated topic, which you know we're going to get to in Gemara a few about later, but let's just try to quickly explain it. Androgynous is a suffix zachar, suffix nekeva. We're nita that he's a zachar, but we're still choshesh he's in nekeva. Now, even if he is in nekeva, a nekeva that's born in nekeva, not a good marriage, but there's no real isser bia. It's just kmeisa eretz mitzrayim leisasu. It's not. It's nothing.
Well, because it doesn't allow a kohen, a male kohen, a legitimate male kohen, to have bia with a woman who he's not married to give her truma.
Right. So we're assuming. Right. So we're assuming midrabanan. So klapi derabanan we say suffik derabanan lakula, and midrabanan we assume that they're married. But klapi deraisa we say suffik deraisa lachumra, and we say maybe they're not married. Probably, yeah. Probably is a zachar, because as long as, even though you have both, but I guess the zachar is like the dominant one. But we're chayshish that maybe he's really in the cave. So since we're chayshish for that, we're only chayshish is in the cave of klapi deraisa, but not the rabbans. But that's a very.
Could
androgynous have children? Good question. I don't remember.
I don't either.
Interesting question. I think they actually had an article recently that there was a tennis star or something. I don't know, tennis star, but tennis player that wasn't enjoying this. Apparently, I think even nowadays it could happen like one out of a billion or something. But again, we have 6 billion people alive, so then theoretically there might be 6 androgynouses. I don't know.
One in a billion, is he the exception to the rule? In other words,
no, one out of a billion people could be an androgynous even nowadays. Meaning, but it's a very, very rare. Can androgynous have children? I mean, I'm not sure. We learned before that a tumtum cannot. I don't recall if an androgynous can. Maybe as we go on, we'll see. But I don't recall if he could or cannot. It's definitely a very, very, very rare condition. I don't know if Bismarck Chazal is more common, but nowadays, I mean, I don't know, you can speak to the doctors, but I think it's a quite rare condition, and that someone should be born with both the male and the female organs. I guess if everything's functioning fully properly, maybe. I don't know.
Make the correction right away.
I'd imagine they would, but again, but are they fully correcting, or are they just doing it for the aesthetic? But not the underlying, you know, there's obviously something wrong internally that's caused this.
The reason the Saris can get married, that's
right. A Sris Chama is mutter to get married.
He can feed his wife Truma.
Correct.
So why should this be any different? If he can marry, if this androgynous can marry a woman,
he
has children.
The difference is Sris is for sure a male, he's just someone who cannot have children. As opposed, a Sris is for sure a male, as opposed to an androgynous, he also has Simani Nakvus, and therefore it's possible that he's a female, and therefore it's possible that the marriage is not a good marriage. We don't know for sure it's a valid marriage. Yeah, we don't know for sure if it's a valid marriage, and then so we assume klapi derabbanans. We assume klapi derabbanan makuda is a good marriage, but klapi derais says we're chayshish. Perhaps it's not a good marriage, and then yeah, all the outcomes that will come out of it not being a valid marriage. Okay, so we're gonna stop here.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you.
Perhaps you could follow up tomorrow with, if you want to have children.